I'm not sure if Mr. Ellis is trying to make me feel old, but I do feel a lot older than I did 30 years ago, obviously. And it's good to be with you this morning. And Marina explained some of the things that have been happening over this past year, that happened over the past year. And we just praise the Lord for how He has worked in different situations, areas that have seen real struggle in Senegal and in Guinea and Ivory Coast as well. And we just praise the Lord for the privilege it has been to travel to some of these places and see what God is doing in other parts of West Africa especially. And Marina was down in South Africa as well. Just before I forget, on the way out, there's a sheet. And if you're interested in getting updates via email, there's a sheet there, and just add your email address, and it'll help keep you up to date with some of the things that are happening in West Africa. We try to update every month, maybe 6 weeks, just to keep people informed about what's happening out there. So if you're interested, just go ahead and add your name to that. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Mr. Elliott read some of the verses for us this morning, and we're going to look at a few phrases from these verses just to focus our minds on missionary work. And we're going to be looking specifically at four calls to missionary work. And we're going to be looking at the Word of God here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and looking and finding four calls to missionary work. Now, as you turn there, I just want to read John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. And this morning, as we think of our role as light bearers, as we think of the responsibility that God has given to us to be busy cutting holes with our lightsaber, the Word of God, in the spiritual darkness of the world, we're going to be looking at four reasons, four calls from the Word of God that would show us that we need to be involved in some way in bringing the gospel to those who have never heard. The first phrase we want to look at is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. We'll just read the verse. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ constraineth us. It's the call or the constraint from the heart within. As we look at this verse, we sense and we see that there's a call coming from within to missionary work. And the love that we have experienced through what Christ has done for us brings us to a place where we want to share it with others. We want to tell others of what we have found. We just had Christmas there, and our children, our grandchildren were running around saying, look what I got for Christmas. And it's the same with the love of God, the love of Christ constraining us. God wants us to be sharing with others what we have found for ourselves. We are constrained, we're compelled, we're inspired, we're moved, we're obliged, we're duty bound, almost forced to go out and share His love with others, because before we were saved, we were lost, we were in darkness. And whenever we receive Christ, we gain something that that gives us peace and joy within ourselves, and we want to go out and share that with others. On Friday night at the children's meeting, we looked at a story in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings, about the four lepers. And I don't know if you remember the story, but the four lepers were outside the city of Samaria, and the king of Syria had come with his army and had surrounded the city. He wanted to conquer the city, and the lepers weren't allowed in the city, and the army had come to invade the city, and these lepers were trapped. There was no food left, and the people were hungry, And it got to the stage where they were eating all sorts of things. And these lepers came to the point where they realized they had to do something. If they just sat where they were going to die. If they went into the city, they were going to die because there was no food. So they decided to go and give themselves up to the Syrian army. But whenever they went, they found that God had worked in a marvelous way, and the army had fled. But when they fled, they left their tents and they left their food. And these leprous men were in the tents eating food and bringing food back to their little huts that they had outside the city. And then they came to the point where in 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 9, then they said one to another, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." They had found something that was worth sharing with others. And God has given us His salvation, and He has given us something that's worth sharing with others. We're constrained by the love of Christ to bring His love to others, compelled to share the good news of the gospel with others who have never had the opportunity. History is full of people who have been constrained by the love of Christ. When we look at C.T. Studd, he was rich, he was famous, a famous cricketer, and he gave it all up and he went to China and he went to India and he went to Africa. And Hudson Taylor, he also went to China. Hudson Taylor said, "I have but one candle of life to burn and would rather burn it out where people are dying in darkness than in a land that is filled with light, flooded with light." Paul Fleming, I was a missionary in Malaysia. He got sick. He had to come home again to the States, went back to the States. But he had a heart to share the gospel with those who had never heard. He wanted the tribes of the world to hear the gospel. And he started an organization called New Tribes Mission. And now there are 3,000 missionaries from New Tribes Mission spread across the world bringing the gospel to those who had never heard. He was constrained, Paul Fleming, by the love of Christ, to go and to start this organization. Bill Woods went to Brazil, and all these people were constrained by the love of Christ. They left home, they left family to bring good news, good tidings to those who were lost, those who had never heard. And 25 years ago, we left in January 1986, the same day the Challenger space shuttle blew up in the sky. We were flying to West Africa, and we left with three small children, and we really had no idea what we were getting into. We had taken 4 years of missionary training, and you would think after 4 years you'd have some idea, but as we arrived in West Africa, it was a whole new world. There's nothing can prepare you for some of those things. And whenever we arrived, it was such a shock. But before we even went there, we didn't really know how God was going to use us. We had no particular skills. I had a stammer, I still have, and we wondered how God was going to use it, but He had constrained us. We were compelled to take His word to others, people who had never had the opportunity. And over the past 25 years, we can praise the Lord for how He has worked, for how He has used our lives, and we just are humbled. And as we look at what God has done in and through us, and we just praise the Lord for the strength He has given to us and the ability He has given to us. And we have nothing of ourselves. It's all by His grace. And as we think of the mountains that we have climbed and seen some of the things that God has done, we went into a tribal area. There were no believers, and God has worked tremendously in the hearts and lives of those people. There have been problems. The valleys, there have been some scary moments. Marina just explained a little bit about Guinea, some of the things that happened there. But we praise the Lord for His grace, for His protection, for His care, for His love. And we praise the Lord for that tribal group that we've worked with from 1987. God has saved hundreds of people. The Word of God has been translated, and portions of it have been translated into their language. It's a thrill to hear them reading the Word of God for themselves. Is a greater thrill even to hear them when they're praying, quoting scripture that has been translated. And we just praise the Lord. But the first call of missionary work is constrained by the love of Christ. It's the call from within. The second thing we'll look at, verses 18 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So here we see the second call to missionary work, the call from above, the call from God. The second call to evangelism and missionary work is the fact that God himself said, go. That should be enough to, and that should be enough for us. When an officer in the army says, jump, the soldier says, how high? He doesn't argue, he doesn't debate the issue, he just does what he's told. And when God says go, then we need to follow his orders until he tells us to stop. We can run through, there are many verses in Scripture. I knew before, but I looked up yesterday again. And 119 verses from the Old Testament talk about God's missionary heart. The fact that God is interested in the whole world, not just in a certain part of the world or certain people. He's interested in the whole world. 119 different verses. In the New Testament, there are 50 verses that show that God is interested in everyone, the whole world. And we could run through many verses, but Matthew 28, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Mark 16 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John 20 verse 21 says, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. So all these verses show us that God has a missionary heart. The second call to missionary work is the call from above, when God has called us, has told us to be involved in bringing the gospel to others who have never heard. There's a word, post-haste. It's a word that we don't see maybe as much as we used to. But the word post-haste goes back to the time of Henry VIII. And in those days, if the king wanted to send a message to Manchester or York or wherever the places were, there were relay teams of horses that would take his message from London to Scotland or wherever, to Wales or whatever, wherever he wanted. But there were teams of horses, and they would be stationed along the route, and the postmaster would organise an important communication to the city and send it off, and the couriers sometimes who took this message, sometimes they were irresponsible. They got sidetracked and they were stopping in the taverns or the inns along the way. And so a law was introduced, and basically the law said that a rider who was bringing a message had to ride for his life. And anyone who was caught disobeying this rule, one of these horsemen, if they were caught disobeying the rule, they were actually hanged. And to show the importance of it, whenever a message was sent to a far-out part of the kingdom, they would draw a little hangman on the outside of the letter, and they would write on the thing, haste, post, haste, haste for thy life. And a number of men were actually executed because they got caught up in taverns or whatever. The expression, or the practice has ended, but we still have the expression. And it reminds us of the urgency and of the utmost speed is required whenever the king's business is involved. And it's the same with the gospel. We need to be involved post-haste in bringing the gospel to those who have never heard. We can't just let it go and pretend that it's not our responsibility. We need to be involved. We need to be doing what God wants us to do. Each generation is responsible to bring the gospel to his own generation, and God wants us to be involved. So we've seen that the first call is the call from within, God constraining us by the love of Christ. The second call is the call from above, which when we've been given the ministry of reconciliation by God Himself. The third call we can, as we think of evangelism and missionary work, is the call from without, from the community that surrounds us, from the world around us who have never heard the opportunity, had the opportunity to hear of Christ, what Christ has done for them on the cross. We are ambassadors. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. And all over the world we see the effects of sin in people's lives. We see that people are living in slavery to Satan, in bondage to their sin. We see broken families. We see AIDS and drug addiction and poverty. As we look around the world, we see thousands of tribes scattered across the globe who do not have any access to the gospel, who wait for light but behold obscurity, who they wait for brightness but they walk in darkness. There's a need for ambassadors. We need to realize our responsibility in bringing the gospel to those who have never heard. Acts 16, it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. There was a need for ambassadors. The Methodists in Australia one time, they sent a message to London, to their headquarters, the Missionary Society. They said, send us a preacher. They said, leave us not forsaken in this difficult land. We call upon you on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves, those who are perishing, dying sinners, outcasts of society. Send us one of yourselves. A need for ambassadors. 30 years ago in Papua New Guinea, we met some missionaries who had come home from New Guinea, and we heard the story. One time they were in the village, and the missionaries had been teaching the gospel to the people in the village, and as they were there, there was someone who came from a different village, and it was in the early 1980s, and a Basorio man called Gili Masse, I hope that's pronounced properly, but he turned up in the village, and when he arrived, he had a bundle of sticks in his hand, and he came up to the missionaries, and he started taking sticks out of the pile of sticks that he had. And as he drew out each stick, he said a person's name. And after he had named all the people in his village, he then took each stick and he threw each stick on the ground, and he called the person's name, and he said the name, and he said, that's another person who has never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. And he took another stick and threw it on the ground and said, he has never heard the gospel of Christ, and another stick, and she has never heard, and the children, and he went on. But the missionaries were caught up with the ministry that they were involved in their village. And I said, look, we would love to help you, but right now we can't do anything because we actually have some new believers, and we need to be here, we need to be encouraging and teaching and translating. And so the guy said, okay. So he left, went back to his village, and he said, there's nobody coming. Not long after, that village sent another messenger to the missionaries and said, it's okay, don't worry about it, we don't need you anymore. Another God had appeared to them and had told them that the message that the missionaries was giving wasn't the truth, so just leave it. No ambassadors. There was no ambassador that they could send. There was no one that they could send to reach this other village. For 30 years, that village rejected the gospel. And the missionaries taught all the other Basorio villages, but this one village where Gili Masse came from, they rejected the gospel until last year. And praise the Lord, even though there was a shortage of laborers, then God raised up someone who could go and had worked in the hearts and lives of the believers there. But it's a nice story, but how does it affect us? God wants to use our lives. He wants to take us. He wants to use us in getting His gospel, His word, to those who have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. Where are the ambassadors? I visited Senegal in June of this year, or last year. I was there for 3 weeks, June and July, and I met a young man called Bounéré. And he was a young Christian and lived in a village. And we went out and visited his village in the eastern Senegal, way out and as far you can go in towards Senegal's on the extreme west of Africa, and it's as far as you can go in Senegal east. Visited his village, and he was telling me that, telling us as a group, he was telling us that he had gone to visit another village. He spent 2 hours on his bicycle, driving in the hot African sun, had arrived in this village, and whenever he arrived, the people were hungry for the Word of God. They wanted to hear the gospel. They had heard other people talking about Jesus and about the gospel, and here was a group of people who wanted to hear the Word of God. And as they sat there, they went off to the corner of a little mud hut, and they produced a piece of paper. And they had written the names of everyone in the village on the piece of paper, and they gave it to Bounéré and told them, "We want to hear the Word of God." Well, Bounéré, he lived 2 hours on a bicycle away from where they were at. And they already built a little hut so that someone could come and teach them the Word of God. But where are the ambassadors? There's a call that comes from within. God constrains our hearts. There's a call from above. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. There's a call from without, those in the community, in our community here in Portadown in Northern Ireland, and also the community of the world, where a call rings clear that we need to be being involved as ambassadors for Christ. And then the final call that we'll look at this morning is the call from below, the call from hell. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Very first verse 11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." The terror of the Lord. We know about God's love, and people want to talk about the love of God, but there's the terror of the Lord as well. God cannot tolerate sin. He doesn't accept sin, and it has to be punished. And as we think of, as human beings, the reality is we live forever. We have a soul that will go on for eternity, that will live for eternity. And that there's an eternal punishment that waits for those who have never accepted Christ as their Savior. There's a call from below, a call from hell. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord," and we need to persuade men. We need to be telling men and women and children that God loves them, but there's also a punishment for those who reject Christ. As we think of Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus clearly tells the story about a rich man dying and going to hell and going to a situation and a place where he was in torment. He was tormented in the flame. And then he asks if God, if Abraham will send Lazarus to go and warn his other brothers. He had five brothers. He says, "For I have five brethren, that Lazarus may go and testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." There's the terror of the Lord, and that's a call that God that has sent out, and we need to be realizing the responsibility that hell is real. It's a place of once a person dies, there's a barrier that comes up that is permanent. Hell is truth seen too late. It's something that once a person is there, there's no chance for him. We need to be realizing that. We have to warn people. We have to inform people about the terror of the Lord, about the reality of hell. We think of car safety, and Volvo has the edge now on. People think of Volvo as being the safest car on the road. Well, actually, it was Mercedes-Benz was the first company to actually introduce a car body design that absorbed the force of a collision on impact in 1952 or something. And they used to have a commercial, and they still do have commercials on TV where a car would crash into a concrete wall, and it'll show you how everything happens and how the Mercedes developed this particular technique. And they had a patent. They patented the design that they'd come up with. And it was interesting that after a while, all the other car companies started to use this particular design that that Mercedes-Benz was using. And someone actually talked to the director of Mercedes-Benz and asked him why the company hadn't enforced the patent that they had on this design. And it was a typical German matter-of-fact answer that he gave. He said, because the reason why they hadn't enforced the patent, they had said, because some things in life are too important not to share with others. Some things are too important not to share with others. And the gospel of Christ falls into that category. The gospel of Christ is too important not to share with other people. We need to be involved in bringing the gospel to those who have never heard, sharing the gospel with people who have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. Romans 10:14 through 15 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." God is looking for those who will go. He wants to use our lives. He wants to take us and bring honor and glory to himself through us. He wants to use our lives to bring his message of salvation to those who have never heard. So as God looks, he's calling. He's calling from within. He's constraining us by the love of Christ. Are you constrained by the love of Christ? He's calling from above. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What's your response to that responsibility? Do you want to live up to it? There's the call from without, from the communities around us, from the tribal groups all over the world, to be ambassadors for Christ. Do you want to be an ambassador for Christ? There's the call from hell, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do you understand the seriousness of the situation? God wants us to be involved. He's calling us to work for him, to bring his word to those who have never heard. Let's let God work on our hearts and challenge our hearts and use us to bring honor and glory to himself. I just want to finish off with one quote from a fellow called Keith Falconer. He was a Cambridge graduate who went to Yemen as a missionary. And he said, "While vast continents still lie shrouded in darkness, the burden of proof rests on you to show that the circumstances in which God has placed you were meant by him to keep you off the foreign field." May God speak to our hearts through his word this morning. Amen.